And the king said, call me Reb Simcha and call me the witnesses, because they have to write the witnesses' names and who they are. And they called Reb Simcha. And the guards of the king, the officers of the king, went to find the other man who said he saw Reb Simcha kill him. And they brought them in front of the king. The king was very smart. He knew how to ask questions. And he asked Reb Simcha questions, and he saw Reb Simcha was a good man, and he remembered Reb Simcha, and he saw that he was innocent, which means he didn't do it. And then he started asking questions to the other man, and after a while he saw the other man was a liar man, and a faker man, and a baloney mice man, and he was the killer, and the king saw that he did it. And this is what the king did. The other man was taken out to hang. And Reb Simcha was not only sent home, but the king said, Reb Simcha, I'm going to give you not a hotel on the end of a field, we'll sell that hotel, we're going to give you a beautiful brand new hotel in a nicer place, a bigger hotel, a nicer hotel, and you and your family will move in there. Plus, all the money that the king had wanted to give him, remember when the Baal Shem Tov said no? All of that, all of those golden rubles, the king said, I've always wanted to give that to you, and now I'm going to give that to you. So he gave him all the money, plus the hotel, and Reb Simcha lived, Baruch Hashem, a nice Yiddish life, and he made a beautiful hotel, helping people, and that is the end of the Maise of Reb Simcha. Long time ago, was a very, very great tzaddik named Rabbi Hanina ben Doisa. You'll see his name in the Gemara. Kinalach, we can't understand the ways of Hashem, that this great tzaddik, who was Melumad Benissim, he always was doing these very great miracles. And the whole world was standing in his schus. Still, at the same time, he was very, very poor. He never had enough money. Sometimes not even enough food. Sometimes not even enough bread. And sometimes, he and his wife and his family were so poor that on Shabbos, they didn't even have challah in the house. They were so poor. And they did not want their neighbors to know. They did not want their friends to know how poor they were. They didn't want people to feel sorry for them. And they did not ask for help. And sometimes they went hungry. And they said, please Hashem, you're the one who gives food. So please, please give us food too. And they would daven to Hashem and wait for Hashem to give them, and not to have to ask people to give them, or to borrow from people. This is a very, very high madrega of emuna and bitachon. Now, one time, kinalach, it was Erev Shabbos, and all the ladies in the neighborhood, in the morning, started making the dough to bake challah, and they would bake in the oven, in their house, they would bake the challah. And the smoke was going up from the chimneys because they burned the wood. And the challah is baking. And if you walk by the houses, you smell the delicious smell of baking challah. And of course, the women are cooking other food for Shabbos. Fishy and chicken and kugel and cholent and all the delicious things that they've made. But that morning, Rabbi Hanina ben Doisa's wife woke up and she went into the kitchen and she sees there is no food, there is no flour, there's nothing even to bake challah because they didn't have enough money to buy it. Oy, what am I going to do? Now, kinalach, she didn't feel so bad that they might be hungry, because they many times went hungry. What she was afraid of is the neighbors will see that there's no smoke coming out from their chimney. And they're going to say, look, no smoke. Nothing is cooking. Nothing is cooking. Oy, Nebuch, they have no food. They're so poor. And they're going to feel sorry for them and talk about them. And they did not want to be ashamed or embarrassed that people should know what's going on with them. And so Rabbi Hanina Mendoza's wife thought to herself, what can I do that the neighbors are not going to find out? The best thing is to make it look like we're baking at least something. At least I'll make smoke come out of our chimney. And if the neighbors look out the window, they're going to see the smoke. And they're going to think to themselves, look, just like everybody else is baking challahs. So over there in the Rabbi Hanina ben Doisa's house, they're also baking challahs. And they won't think twice. And so she took some sticks and some wood and some leaves and she starts putting it into the oven. And then all of a sudden she thinks to herself, wait a minute, I heard once that if you make it wet, a little bit, not too wet, but a little bit wet, it's going to make even more smoke than if it's dry. If it's dry and the leaves and twigs and branches are burning, it's going to make smoke. But if it's a little bit wet, it's going to make even more smoke. So she put some water on it. And she lit the fire, and the smoke starts coming out of the chimney. And all of a sudden, one of the neighbors is looking out of her window, baking her challahs and making her food. And all of a sudden, she sees all this smoke coming out of Rabbi Hanina ben Doisa's house of the chimney. Hey, this is very interesting. Look how much smoke is coming out of that chimney. The other houses don't have that much smoke. And over there in Rabbi Hanina ben Doisa's house, there is so much smoke coming out of the chimney, more than all the other houses. Oh, I'm so curious to know, what's she cooking over there so much? I know they're poor people. I know that they hardly have enough money even during the week to have some bread. But I wonder for Shabbos now, and I know sometimes even Shabbos, they hardly have any food. I don't know exactly what they have or what they don't, but I know they're very poor. And now there's so much smoke coming out of the chimney. I'm so curious to find out, what are they cooking over there? I want to go find out. I'm so curious. I want to go have a look. And this lady goes out of her house to look and see what's going on in Rabbi Hanina Mendoza's house. Now, Kinalak, are you supposed to be nosy and go over there and to look in somebody else's house just to see what's going on? Of course, if there's an important reason, Chas V'Shalom, there's some kind of emergency, you're worried about people, so maybe there's a place for such a thing because, you know, who knows? But in this case, this woman is just nosy. And she has in her mind even to go tell the other neighbors what's going on. And it could even, Chas V'Shalom, be even Lashon Hara if she's going to say something that's not nice. And if you say something, just a regular thing, but there's no reason to go and tell people about it, you know what that's called? That's called Rechilus. Just talking stam, and it's none of your business. This is called Rechilus. And by the way, if you, Chas V'Shalom, make up a lie, and it's not even true, you know what that's called? Moitzi Shem Ra. And the nosy neighbor goes over, and she knocks on the door. Hello, my neighbor. I'm over here. Your neighbor has come to visit you. Would you please open the door? I would like to come into your kitchen. Open the door, please. Rabbi Hanina ben Doisa's wife heard her neighbor next door come over. She heard her neighbor come over and she was embarrassed. She didn't want her to come in. What's she going to do? If she opens the door, the neighbor will come in and see there's nothing cooking. There's nothing baking. She decided she's going to leave the kitchen and go in the next room. And she went in the next room without opening the door. Hello? The neighbor's here. Please open the door. Mrs. Rabbi Hanina ben Doisa, I would like to come in and say, how are you? And see what's doing. No answer. She was so curious, Kinilach, she opened the door herself and came in. Are you allowed to go into somebody's house by yourself, just opening the door and walking in if they don't let you in? No, you're not allowed to do that. And Kinilach, she wanted to look in the oven to see what's in there that's making so much smoke. Kinilach, Hashem made a nest for Rabbi Hanina Mendoza and his wife, that they should not be fashem, they should not be embarrassed. She went over to the oven, and on the way to the oven, she looked on the table, and she saw a big bowl full of dough for making challah. Oh, look at all that dough. Huh, that's a lot of dough. That's going to make a lot of challahs. And she looked in the oven, and the oven was full of great, big, huge, golden brown, delicious-looking challahs. And they smelled so delicious, and they were all baked. And the neighbor looks in that oven, and she never in her life saw such beautiful, delicious-looking, delicious-smelling challahs in her whole life. And without thinking, she says, these challahs, look, they're done. They're all done. They have to be taken out. They're going to burn. Hello, hello. And Kinilach, she forgot that she was in the kitchen of her neighbor without even being asked to come in. And in the next room, Rabbi Hanina ben Doisa's wife heard the yelling. And she heard what was going on. And she came running in. And she did not want to embarrass her neighbor. And she said, oh, thank you for calling. My challahs are done. I have to take them out. I was so busy in the next room, I forgot that they were going to be ready now. And she ran and took out these beautiful, delicious-looking challahs. And she was smiling. Oh, Baruch Hashem, just in the right time, I got them out of the oven. Thank you. And of course, the neighbor all of a sudden sees she's just standing there in the kitchen. And she felt so ashamed of herself. Not because Rabbi Hanina Mendoza's wife made her feel ashamed of herself, but because of what she did. She herself, she saw what she did. And she said, oh, excuse me, I'm sorry that I came in. And she left. And she went back home. So we see Kinilach, Rabbi Hanina Mendoza and his wife were very halik, very close to Hashem. And Hashem did big nisim. Now the question is, of course, if they were such a big tzaddikim, why were they so poor? If Hashem could do such a big miracle, He could also make them rich if He wants. Now, Kinilach, listen to this story, and maybe it'll answer a little bit of that question. One day, Rabbi Hanina Mendoza's wife came to Rabbi Hanina Mendoza, and she said, why do we have to be so poor? Why can't we be rich? Why can't we have money? After all, Hashem gives the brachas for everything. He could also give a bracha for money. Why don't you daven for money? Daven that we should be rich. Well, Kinilach, Rabbi Hanina Mendoza did not want to see his wife, Chas v'Shalom, be upset. She was a good woman, but it got so difficult. As I told you, sometimes even Shabbos, they didn't have food. Now, Rabbi Hanina ben Doisa, Kinilach, davened to Hashem to help them. And as he was davening, all of a sudden, a hand came out of nowhere and put a table leg on the floor. Not a table, but a beautiful table leg made out of gold. The most beautiful table leg that you ever saw in your life. Look, said Rabbi Hanina Mendoza's wife, it must have come from the Shamayim. Hashem heard your davening and gave us this beautiful golden leg of a table. It must be worth $1,000,000. We could sell it, and we'll have money. And we'll use the money for everything that we need for the rest of our lives.
Rabbi Hanina ben Doisa just looked at the table leg. He said, if Hashem wanted us to have $1 million, the hand could have also put down $1 million. And if Hashem wants us to have gold, He could have given us a whole table made out of gold, not just a leg. Something is going on over here. We have to think about it. You see, Kinalach, a tzaddik doesn't just react to a thing right away as his eyes see it. A tzaddik thinks into it. And a tzaddik connects everything that happens to Hashem. It was late and it was time to go to sleep. That night, Kinalach, Rabbi Hanina ben Doisa had a very interesting and special dream. In his dream, he saw himself and his wife in Gan Eden. There were tzaddikim and tzaddikesses. They were sitting by beautiful golden tables. And they were enjoying Hashem's wonderful halakite, the Ziv HaShchina, the shining of the Shechina. Rabbi Hanina ben Doisa and his wife were also sitting by a beautiful golden table. They were also trying to enjoy Hashem's halakite, but there was a big problem. Their table kept falling over. And each time they picked it up, it fell over again. Oy vey, what's wrong? What's wrong with our table? We can't enjoy the Ziv HaShchina in Gan Eden, like all the other tzaddikim and tzaddikesses are enjoying it. Our table keeps falling over. They looked down and they saw that their table was missing a leg. That's why it was always falling over. One of the beautiful legs of the table was missing. It was gone. And do you know what the legs of the table looked like? The ones that they had still? Exactly like the one that the hand had given them from the Shemayim. Exactly like the table leg that the hand had put in their house the day before. That's exactly what the table legs looked like that were still on their table. Actually, the Gemara says, Kinalach, that the legs of the tables in Gan Eden, there are three legs. So the other tables had three legs, and their table only had two legs. Now, most of our tables that we know have four legs, but these tables had three legs. And actually, one of the Mefarshim explained that the legs are according to Torah, Tefillah, and Tzedakah. In other words, the Torah that a person learned in the world, that goes with one leg, and the davening, the way the person davens in this world, that goes with another leg. And the tzedakah and the gemilas chasadim, the sharing and the helping others that a person does in this world, that's connected with the third leg of the table. And Rabbi Hanina ben Doisa and his wife had a table only with two legs. The other ones had three legs.
And he woke up, Kinalach, and he explained the dream to his wife, and he said, I know what this dream means. That we could have riches and money and all of the good things in this world, but we have to pay a price for it. We are going to take away from our Olam Haba. For whatever reason Hashem has, for some reason we don't have it in Olam Hazeh so good. But we have a chance to have it good, but we're going to have to take away from our Olam Haba in order to have it good in Olam Hazeh. And that's why I saw the table kept falling over, because it was missing a leg. A part of our Olam Haba is coming down into Olam Hazeh, into this world, then we have it good. But Olam Hazeh, Kinalach, is only a very, very short time. And Olam Haba is forever. So, Olam Hazeh Kinalach is only a very short time. To have it good for a very short time, That's a pretty good thing. But to take away from a good time forever, is it worth it? Is it worth to take away to have their table forever in Gan Eden, to have a good short time in Olam Hazeh? So let me just finish the story very quickly. They decided that it's better to have it difficult in Olam Hazeh and have it good in Olam Haba. It's not worth it to take away from Olam Haba to trade that for Olam Hazeh. So Rabbi Hanina ben Deisa went to the wall and he starts davening to Hashem that they should have their Olam Haba back. And whatever Hashem wants in Olam Hazeh, that's what they'll have. You know what happened? He went to the wall and davened. And as he was davening, you know what happened to the table leg? Anybody want to try to guess? What do you think happened to the leg of the table? Who could guess? Raise your hand. Let me ask who could guess? Yes.
Went back to the Shemayim.
What was that?
Went back to the Shemayim.
That's exactly right. It went right back into the Shemayim.
The hand came out of the Shemayim and took back the table leg.
Now, 1 year, it was right after Yom Kippur, and the Baal Shem Tov wanted to go out to make Kiddush Levana. As you know, right after Yom Kippur, before we go home, we make Kiddush Levana. And we go outside, and there's a moon usually. We make Kiddush Levana, we try. Sometimes there's not a moon, so we have to wait. But there's a big, big special thing about making Kiddush Levana right after Yom Kippur. This particular year, Kinalach, the Baal Shem Tov went outside, he looked out in the sky, and he saw there is no moon. Which means, of course, that it's very cloudy, and you can't see the moon. Now, a regular person will look out there and say, "Oy vey, we can't make Kiddush Levana, we'll go home and eat. We'll have to make it another time." But Kinalach, the Baal Shem Tov, being a very big tzaddik, Ruach HaKodesh, he knew that there was a certain sign that was being shown to the Jewish people by having no Levana outside. It's so cloudy on this particular day when it's a big, big special time to make Kiddush Levana. The Baal Shem Tov knew with Ruach HaKodesh there was a very big Zeta still on the Yidden even after Yom Kippur. And Chas V'Shalem, if they would not make Kiddush Levana that night, it would be a very not good year. The Baal Shem Tov saw this Gzeira in the Himmel. If it's going to be Kiddush Levana that night, then they're going to have a good year. And the Gzeira will be torn up in the Shemayim. And they'll get rid of that Gzeira. Because Kiddush Levana will have the koyach to smash that Gzeira. Because there's a special halakite and a special thing about Kiddush Levana that Gzeira will be finished. But the Yetzirah was busy making clouds in the sky that the Yidden should not make Kiddush Levana because he wanted that there should be the Gzeira, and if there would be no Kiddush Levana, it would be Chas V'Shalom, a very not good year. And the Baal Shem Tov went into his room and he starts davening to Hashem. And he starts doing all kinds of special secret things that tzaddikim know how to do. And secret davenings that only big tzaddikim know how to do. And secret things that they think over in the davening. And certain names of Hashem. And all kinds of special things that Hashem should help. There should be Kiddush Levana. And he went out a few times looking at the moon. But he saw there was no moon. Nothing was working. And outside, the Chassidim, they didn't know what was going on. The Yidden standing outside didn't know what was going on. Only they're waiting for the Baal Shem Tov to come out to make Kiddush Levana. Maybe he'll wait outside with them. Maybe there'll be a Levana. And they'll make Kiddush Levana together. So they started to sing and to dance. Because they felt pretty soon the clouds will split apart. And there'll be a Levana, like many times, you know, it's cloudy, all of a sudden you see a Levana for a while. You just need a few minutes to make Kiddush Levana, at least enough time for the bracha. The Baal Shem Tov Kinalach knew that this is such a night that it was not going to be the clouds going away. Because the Yetzer Hara was busy gathering clouds from everywhere in the Shemayim, and every cloud he can get, he stoops it over there in front of the Levana, that nobody should make Kiddush Levana. And there were so many clouds in the sky that for the whole night there would be no break in the clouds. And that's why the Baal Shem Tov was trying very hard to do special things to get rid of this whole thing going on. Because it was a Yetzer Hara thing, it's just not a weatherman thing who says there's clouds in the sky. And all of a sudden, Kinalach, as the Chassidim were singing and dancing, they were besimcha, and they had a good feeling that there's going to be Kiddush Levana, that all of a sudden, they said, let's go and ask the Baal Shem Tov, he should also come outside and sing and dance with us, and we'll all together make Kiddush Levana as soon as there's a Levana. And they came into the room where the Baal Shem Tov was, singing and dancing and asking the Rebbe, please come with us. And all of a sudden, the Baal Shem Tov got up and he joined them singing and dancing. And they're dancing around and they're dancing around in a circle around and around. All of a sudden, a big wind starts outside. Just like you're dancing in a circle. A big circle starts going around in the sky, a big wind. And the Yetzer Hara is trying to push more clouds, and all of a sudden the wind is blowing those clouds away. Hey, where is this wind coming from? There's not supposed to be a wind tonight. I'm supposed to make clouds. There should be no Kiddush Levana. Where is this wind coming from? Why is it blowing all these clouds? And as they're dancing and dancing around and around, the wind is blowing, and it's pushing the clouds, and it's pushing the Yetzer Hara, and he can't even push against this wind. It's so strong. And he's just blowing away together with his clouds, and all of a sudden, there was a break in the clouds, and there's a beautiful, clear Levana. And the Yid made Kiddush Levana. And at the time they made Kiddush Levana, the Gzeira got torn up in the Shemayim, and all the pieces fell down, right on the Yetzer Hara's head, and it bopped him off the clouds, and he fell down in a big smash with the Gzeira on his head, and he was crying. He was very upset that the Gzeira got smashed up and his clouds got blown away and he got blown off the clouds. And Kinalach, of course, it was a very good year for the Yidden. So what do we see? We see that sometimes what just regular people, simple people, can do with simcha, with singing and with dancing, with simcha, and with a simple feeling to Hashem that everything will be okay, tracht gut vet sein gut, because they Yidden said, they felt, it's going to be good, don't worry, we'll make it as Levana. With that kind of, it's called pshitas, a simple way, it does even more sometimes than the biggest tzaddik can do through his secret halakha ways. Just simcha, what simcha can do, sometimes, and nothing else can do. And also it says, Simcha peretz geder. The Torah also says, Simcha peretz geder. There's a fence. A geder is a fence. And you're trying to get through the fence. There's no door there. It's a big fence and it's blocking. And you're trying to get through the fence. And you take a hammer and you smash the fence doesn't break. And you take a big stick and you bang the fence, and the fence doesn't break. And you're going to try to cut with an electric saw a door into the fence, and it doesn't cut because it's too strong of a fence. And you have to get through. It's very important to get through. You just can't stay on one side, you have to get through. What's going to be the only thing that is going to get through the fence? Simcha. If all of a sudden you say, I'm going to go through, and I'm happy. In other words, you're besimcha. Simcha can break down the fence and you go through. Not any other kind of koyach, simcha. Simcha, you're happy.